You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and it's Tuesday, July 1st. Legal fees are beginning to mount in Pacific County Commissioner Lisa Olson's defense against a recall effort. The fight is now at the Washington State Supreme Court. A hearing scheduled for September 4th will determine if the recall can move forward. In April, Olson asked the county to cover the costs of her legal defense. The firm representing Olson asked for a $5,000 advance for its work. Pacific County Prosecutor Michael Rothman determined Olson could use county funds to cover her legal defense since the charges concerned decisions Olson made as a county official. According to records requested by the Chinook Observer, the first bill submitted in May was for just over $13,000. The county could also be on the hook to pay for a special election in addition to Olson's legal fees. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Mussel harvesting in Oregon is closed from Tillamook Head, south of Seaside, to the north jetty of the Siuslaw River in Florence. According to the state, recent mussel samples show that levels of paralytic shellfish poisoning, a naturally occurring marine biotoxin, is above the safety threshold. Mussels remain open from the north jetty of the Siuslaw River to the California border and north from Tillamook Head to the Washington state border. The Oregon Department of Agriculture will continue testing for shellfish toxins at least twice per month as tides and weather permit. Bay clams and crabs remain open for harvest coastwide. In Clark County, Washington, a 3-mile length of the East Fork Lewis River is on its way to recovery. OPB's Eric Newman reports that's despite concerns about future environmental restoration funding.
Standing at the edge of a former gravel pit that's now filled with water, restoration ecologist Carrie Dupler dips her hand into a blue mesh bucket and pulls out a handful of black, egg-sized mussels.
These are all from one sort of group called floaters, floater mussels. These mussels generally like to kind of bury themselves down in the sand a little bit, so often the only thing that you'll see sticking up is their siphon.
Dupler works with the Lower Columbia Estuary Partnership, a science and education nonprofit. This is one part of a meticulous fish salvage operation she's working on in a section of the East Fork Lewis River. A diver swims back and forth along the sandy bottom of the pool, collecting the native mussels so they can be temporarily relocated.
They collected probably about 2,000 mussels yesterday alone in this area.
The East Fork flows out of the Gifford Pinchot National Forest on its way to the Columbia River. But here, between the towns of Ridgefield and Battleground, it slows to a crawl in an area known as the Ridgefield Pits. This used to be a gravel mine. A nearby barrier between that mine and the river broke in 1996 during the largest flood in the river's history. That disaster reshaped the habitat. For years, salmon and steelhead have had to swim through these lazy pools filled with predators like pike minnow and bass.
So instead of having this river environment where it's, you know, river's moving, you get these riffles and pools, now you're flowing through these big dead ponds, essentially.
That's Paul Culp with the Estuary Partnership. If all goes according to plan and the funding for this $23 million restoration project remains in place, they'll turn this sluggish bottleneck into improved habitat. On a recent day, excavators and bulldozers from the battleground contractor Tappany shuttle some of the 400,000 cubic yards of earth that will be moved back into the pits. Nearby, a log truck loads a handful of the 5,000 tree trunks that will be scattered in the river as structures for juvenile fish. When staff on the project initially snorkeled the river to look for fish, Culp says it contained just a handful of logs.
And under every piece of wood, there's a cloud of juveniles. I mean, because they have nowhere else to go. So I think very quickly you'll see them use those habitats.
Restoring the Ridgefield Pits area was a high priority for salmon recovery groups. There are no dams on the East Fork Lewis River, and in 2014, it was designated a wild steelhead gene bank by the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. That means hatchery fish aren't released into the river since they can compete with wild fish. The project will also increase flood storage and protect property owners from erosion. After years of project design and review, construction finally started because of new state and federal funding.
As a result of the Infrastructure Act, we had a lot more money coming into the state of Washington, and we were ready to go.
The project also got $7.6 million in grants from NOAA. All of that federal money could be targeted for elimination by the Trump administration going forward. So far, Culp says the project hasn't been interrupted mid-construction.
We are proceeding as business as usual, and we are not expecting that money to go away.
But there's concern that eliminating federal funding sources will make large restoration projects impossible in the future. Jasmine Zimmer Stuckey is the public and legislative affairs manager with the Estuary Partnership.
The idea that, you know, we could have a project of this scope and scale that can provide this much, you know, community benefit, economic, you know, infusion of dollars to the local economy, we want to see more of that in the future, and that is what is at risk.
After a tour of the site, Dupler, the ecologist, hops onto an all-terrain vehicle and heads back to the Estuary Partnership's job trailer on a newly carved dirt road. Dump trucks rumble past. Within a few minutes, she misses her turnoff.
I feel like things change out here almost every day, so you kind of have to be on your toes as you're driving around.
Construction on the East Fork Lewis River will take 2 years, including breaks for when fish are migrating in the river. They'll spend another 2 years on revegetation work after that. I'm Eric Newman reporting.
For weather today in the Lower Columbia River region, partly sunny with highs in the mid to high 60s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the low 50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with highs near 65. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with lows in the low 50s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.